Again, Pastor Bill and I, we do go way back. In fact, I even helped lay the brick on your church building years ago. So, and we've been friends. And Bill used to work for me at times. I had my own construction company there. There'd be times I'd get behind, and he'd come out and give me a hand, laying bricks and blocks and stuff. So, yeah, now I'm giving him a hand. Amen. But it's my pleasure to be here. And if you don't know who I am, it doesn't matter. As long as I know who I am, right? But let me get my iPad up here and running. Thank God for modern technology, but sometimes it can be a mess. Indeed. When it's not cooperating with you, huh?
The wheel of death.
My assignment is to share on the subject of kings in the kingdom this weekend, and I believe I have something that will be a blessing to you, and it's important we understand our kingship as believers.
Yes.
Thinking back in time, someone gave me Kenneth Hagin's books. He had about 21, I think, at that time. There's more nowadays, but... And I started reading through these books, and the first one I read was The Authority of the Believer. How many ever read that book?
Yes.
And man, it changed my life. I've been, raised in a Pentecostal Assembly of God church, father's a pastor. You know, I thought I knew everything. And I heard this message of faith and who we are in Christ and the authority that God has delegated to us, and it changed my life. I mean, I got on fire, right? You know, I began to pray for everything that I could. I remember I was driving my car one night to go get some milk to the 7-Eleven. On the way, a dog ran out in front of me, and I hit it with my car. Man, I stopped and prayed for that dog. It didn't look like anything happened. But I said, in Jesus' name, you're going to live and not die. And I came back from getting milk, and the dog came over to the car wagging his tail. He was so happy a Christian that knew his authority had hit him, not some sinner. But, you know... God's power, God's name, we have that right to use it. And we are kings in the kingdom. And like I said, it changed my whole life, and I haven't stopped yet. I just believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And if I'm a believer, we should be acting on the word. Amen? Hallelujah. So we'll have a good time this weekend. The Pastor Bill, I talked to him. Today. I know he wanted to be here so bad, but I said, just get better. Just get better. And he's working on that. Amen? He's amending. I said, you're amending. I said, they begin to amend from that very hour.
Yes.
You got to see yourself amending. And put some actions with that too as well. Amen? But let's go to Matthew chapter 16 here tonight to get started in these... I think I have three sessions tonight, two times the mark. And I think this will be a blessing to you. You know, when you get a revelation or an understanding of God's word, when it lights up within you, man, you are dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. And the devil will try to distract us, try to, I say every time the word of God is sown, Satan comes immediately with all kinds of things to get our mind off what we heard so it doesn't take root in our hearts. And that's your job. I can do is just sow the word. I'm a sower of the word. You have to take that word and meditate on it, think about it, and ponder it, and talk about it. There's a guy called Ironside, not the one in the wheelchair on the TV show, but he has a commentary, and it's a theological. And he defines the word rhema as two people leaving church talking about what they heard. I like that. Talking the word. You got to talk the word. Because faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by what you've heard. And if you don't keep hearing it, you'll forget it. If you don't use it, you lose it. You understand that? A few years ago, probably more than a few years now, I took on the task of learning to speak Russian. Because I made 25 trips over to that part of the world, so it's nice to know the language and be able to communicate. And actually, it gives you a little more favor when you start talking their language. And but I had to practice it. I had to talk it. Every time I could, I had to listen to it, on CDs in the car, you know, just everywhere I could. If I found a live Russian man, I was right there talking to him. Because faith cometh by hearing, Russian cometh by hearing. You try to learn a language, it's going to come by you hearing it and hearing it and hearing it. And then you speak in it too as well. Amen? Have you found Matthew 16 by now? In verse 18, Jesus is speaking this to Peter, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, in this context, Peter had a revelation, didn't he?
Yes.
He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't tell you that. My Father gave you that revelation. And he said, upon this rock. Now, what was he talking about? He's talking about the rocks of revelation that we get. Amen. Amen. You know, we need to get some revelations in our life. You know, when I first heard the message about healing, man, I jumped into it full force. And I still keep it fresh in my life. I had some bad diagnoses here a few years ago that most people would be dead by now. But the doctors, they don't know how to handle me. Amen. God's word works. Are you with me?
Yes.
And the devil would like to take you out early if he could. But it's important, again, that we get a revelation of whatever. Prosperity. You need to have a revelation of prosperity, of tithing and sowing offerings and almsgiving, and what that'll mean to you in your spiritual walk. And that's why you got to hear it. You got to hear messages preached about it. Talk about it. Amen? And faith will come in those areas, and whatever area we're talking about. We're talking about being a witness on the streets. You need to build your faith in that area. And so there's a lot of, you know, actually a rock is made up of little particles put together, all compressed together. Right? It is, really. Take a sledgehammer to it once. It'll just be little pieces. And they're compressed together. So we get a bunch of pieces together. We'll have a bigger rock of revelation in our life. Amen. And it says the gates of hell won't be able to prevail against us. And that's what I believe God wants for the church. Amen. He said, then I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you bind will be bound. Whatever you loose will be loose. I like the amplified version of that. It says, whatever you declare lawful will be declared lawful in heaven. Whatever you declare unlawful. So we have to make declarations with our authority as kings. See, kings have what they say. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
In fact, we'll look at this verse later sometime this weekend in Peter where it says, we are a royal priesthood. We're a kingly priesthood. We are kings who have what we say, and yet we still have the opportunity to minister as priests to the unsaved, to bring them to the Father. Amen? And then we deal with our kingship, dealing with the enemy in people's lives, taking authority over it. You know, we just let too much go many times. It'll work out. No, sometimes you have to just get in there and fight the good fight and get the sword of the Spirit out of its sheath and begin to speak the word. Amen. Resist the devil and he'll what? Flee from you. And that means to run as in terror. And if you know who you are in Christ and the authority that you have in him, he will run as in terror. And he'll think twice about coming back to your house. He always comes back. You understand that? He comes back. Jesus said when a house is clean, you know, the devil will come back. He tries to get back in that same house. So fill it up with the word. Fill your heart up with the word. Amen? But again, how about Romans chapter 5? Go there with me. Another verse I want to give you. Romans 5. There's so much on the subject when you start studying in the Bible. Here in Romans 5, verse 17, for by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more. Say much more.
Much more.
I like much more. When I sit down at the table, sometimes I want much more. And my wife's a carb counter, so when she's not around, I exploit a little bit. Much more, they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Again, the Amplified Bible, I was going to read it for you, but it says, shall reign as kings in life. And again, kings, we are kings in the kingdom. We are, again, a royal priesthood, a kingly priesthood, and we are to act on behalf of God at times. We are his spokesman. We are his police force. Amen? We're to occupy till he comes back. You ever heard of a man named George Mueller?
Yes.
He believed in millions of dollars for his ministries. Back in the day, that was before he had internet, before he had telephone, before he had all that stuff, he believed in it just by praying and believing. God would send him supernaturally the money. He had orphanages, and he had more than always had enough. Because he used the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We're going to talk about that as well. Amen. Here's Charles Spurgeon. You heard this guy?
Yes.
He says, before he pledged his word, talking about God, he was free to do as it pleased him. But after he made a promise, his truth and honor bound him to do as he said. To him, indeed, this is no limiting of his liberty, for the promise is always the declaration of his sovereign will and good pleasure, and is ever his delight to act according to his word. So if his word says it, he's going to back it up. Amen. We can count. You can take to the bank and cash it. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, people say when we talk about the Word of Faith movement, which I'm part of, I sat at the feet of Kenneth Hagin, and I'm glad I came across those truths. Like I said, I'd probably be dead by now. But people say, well, you're manipulating God. No, I'm taking him at his word and applying it to the situation, circumstances of life. I'm not demanding God. Amen. I'm just acting like his word is true. And God in his sovereignty, I challenge you, the word sovereignty is not in the King James Bible. That surprises a lot of people. Well, God's sovereign. Yes, that means to rule or reign. He does rule and reign. And in his rule and reign, he has set up laws of the Spirit that govern everything that we do. Whatever man sows, he's going to reap it. You know, there's laws of sowing and reaping. And we learn these laws, we can apply them to our lives. And there's a law of believing in your heart and saying with your mouth. It's called the law of faith, which Paul said we preach.
Yeah.
And we have the same spirit of faith. We believe, therefore we have spoken. We speak the word of God. We speak what God has said, because his word is true. Amen?
That's right.
Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for what?
Lack
of knowledge. He didn't say for a lack of faith, but a lack of knowing. Thank God for knowledge.
Yes.
Now, you don't want to get puffed up by knowledge. Knowledge can puff you up when you start thinking you know everything. We had a guest speaker at our church one time, and I was out of town, a man from South Africa, and my wife took him out to dinner and so forth, and she said, man, that was the most humblest man I ever met. I said, more humble than me? No, we don't.
Busted.
Busted. No, we don't get prideful from knowledge. We can. It can puff you up. But we want knowledge because knowledge will set you free. I like to give this illustration. I used to babysit for a neighbor years ago when I was a teenager. I don't know what she paid me like 50 cents an hour or something like that. I don't know. It was back when the Beatles were on TV. That's how long ago it was.
It was
black and white. And I remember watching the Beatles. It was a Sunday night, evidently, on Ed Sullivan's show. I'm taking somebody way back now, aren't I? And they were sort of rich, this family. And we didn't have a lot of nice things. We were poor. I was so poor I couldn't pay attention in school. Head drummer. But I was watching these two little kids there in this big old house, and all of a sudden I heard this. Periodically I'd hear this. I thought, man, somebody's trying to break in, you know, and I'm a teenager, and I'm going around checking the windows and the doors, and I mean, fear, you know. This is out in the country. I lived out in the country, you know. We lived so far back in the woods that they had to pump electricity back to us and light. But, you know, boom, and I'm walking through the kitchen, and I think I hear this noise, and it's coming out of the refrigerator. Here they had an ice maker that was dropping the ice cubes down in the tray. I never saw such a thing or heard such a thing. And as soon as I knew what that was, the fear went. See, when you get knowledge of the word, fear won't be able to control you anymore. See, I know that I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I don't just say that, I know that. I meditate in it. I thank God every day for my healing, wholeness, and soundness. That he hung on the cross and carried all my sicknesses and bore my pains. Amen? Amen? I know that. And because of that, I'm not afraid of what the doctors can tell you. Because sometimes they're just looking at what they see, but we're looking at the unseen. Amen? We doing all right here? Amen. We're destroyed for a lack of knowledge, not a lack of faith. A lot of times we don't have faith because we don't have knowledge. But when we get knowledge, and you go to church like Abundant Life, Pastor Bill's a great teacher. This guy's a good teacher. You have some great men that preach and teach the word there. Get knowledge. And it does away with fear. Amen? Hallelujah. Go to John chapter 14 now. John 14. I trust we'll... A lot of stuff you already know, but it'll be good to hear it again because faith comes by hearing.
Yes.
Peter, what did Peter say? He said, I put you in remembrance.
Amen.
John 14, verse 12. Verily, verily. When Jesus repeats the word, he's getting very serious, wants to emphasize something here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever, say whatsoever.
Whatsoever.
Ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. There's a promise from God.
Yes.
Now, we know this is conditioned on the fact that we need to know what his will is. If you ask outside of his will, you can be asking amiss, as it says in 1 John. But if we ask according to his will, or we know what the word, see, the word is his will. We have a copy of it. It's called the Bible. But most Christians don't know, they don't read it. They just, you know what I'm saying? It's a sad thing. Most people don't give any time to the Word of God.
Yeah.
Unless there's trouble in their life. Then all of a sudden they want to know what chapter and verse you have for me. No, every day you need to be in this Word. It's spiritual food for our spiritual man. Amen? Yeah, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And when you start looking at the word as life, Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. It'll impart to you that life. It'll generate his life within you. Again, whatever we would ask in my name. A.T. Pearson says this, to ask in the name of Jesus is not simply to ask for his sake, but to ask in the power of the union we have with him as our Redeemer. It is to ask in his stead. It is to ask because I belong to him and he belongs to me. And this union is my authority in the request. So again, we're asking in the name of Jesus. People say, for Jesus' sake. Not necessarily. It's for getting changed. It's for our sake. Amen. Hallelujah. Again, so when we pray in Jesus' name, as though Jesus himself were doing the prayer, praying, he takes our place. E.W. Kenyon says that. If you've never read any of E.W. Kenyon's books, you need to get some of them. They're very rich stuff in there, who we are in Christ. The man had a church for 30-some years, and not one person ever died prematurely in his congregation. Amen. It's for us. We have to believe it and receive it and act upon it. Amen. So again, whatever we ask, Whatsoever in my name. We'll talk more about that as we go through here as well. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to give you a bunch of scriptures here. So you, if you got a new Bible, we'll break it in here tonight.
Absolutely.
Ephesians 2, 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in sins, quicken us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. So again, he's raised us up together with him. We are seated in heavenly places. You say, well, I don't feel like I'm there. It has nothing to do with what you feel. It has to do with what God said about us. He's made us to sit together because we're kings in the kingdom. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. Are you with me? And we have the right and privilege to sit in those heavenly places. If some of you were at the Armada conference and Pastor Cotteran was there, he had a great message on where God is placed. It was a powerful word. And we're there. Amen. Hallelujah. In fact, in John 14, in verses 1 and 2, go there with me. John 14, jumping all over the Bible here tonight. Verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, I don't blow your traditional mind out of whack here tonight, but could it be that's not talking about literal mansions? I don't know. It just means abiding places. Could Jesus be referring to what Ephesians said? He's going to make us sit together in those places of authority with him. Now, I believe there's probably houses and mansions, streets of gold all there, you know, and I don't want to ruin your future. If you think we're going to just go to heaven just sit around and play harps, I don't know. I don't think that's God's intent. Are you with me? But we're made to sit in those places of authority with Jesus. We're to act on his behalf. In fact, the Psalms 8th chapter, verse 5. Let's go there quickly. Yeah, one of our favorite songs in the old Pentecostal church was, I Got a Mansion, just over the hilltop. And maybe we do, I don't know. It doesn't matter to me. Just being with Jesus is going to be the best part. Amen. Psalms, 8th chapter. In reference here to the question was, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Verse 4. And the Son of Man that thou visitest him, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. If you look up that word angels there, I challenge you. It's the word Elohim, the Hebrew word, or the Godhead, the Trinity. God had created man in his own image, little lower than himself. We're always small g. Amen? Don't try to be big G. You get into big trouble. But he's raised us up into that position where we can have this kind of authority on this earth. You're not going to need it in heaven. It's where the enemy is now on this earth that we're to make known unto him principalities and powers, the manifold wisdom of God. It's in Ephesians. We'll look at that verse later too. We might put it this way, Jesus restored us to the original plan for God, this man that he created. Amen?
That's right.
In fact, in Genesis 32, here's an interesting thought. I'll give this to you. This won't cost you anything. Genesis 32, 28, story of Jacob, and he was wrestling with God. I don't know, that's always an amazing story that you would wrestle with God. And we know the story, God touched his thigh and he had a limp from that day on to remind him that you don't mess with God. Amen. But he says here in verse 28, he asked him, what is your name, verse 27? And he said, Jacob. You know, what's the word Jacob mean? Anybody know?
Deceiver.
Deceiver, yeah. Tricker. Yeah. Not a good name to name your kid, right? And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And what I see from this verse is that in Old Testament days, you were considered to be a prince with God. But we got promoted in this New Testament. We're kings now. I don't know about you, but a king has more authority than a prince. Amen? I'm throwing that out to you. Take it or leave it. And again, we have been, we're kings. I'd say a lot of believers have no idea. They just think we're beggars crawling through the heat and clay, hoping we might make it to heaven someday. No, we've been given authority, delegated authority by Jesus himself.
Yes.
And, amen. So, like I said, Revelation 1:6 says we are now what? Kings and priests. And again, kings have what they say. So let's talk about this power of eternity. Let's go to Acts chapter 3. And this is where Peter and John laid hands on a man. He got up, sat at the gate, and he got healed. Caused a little revival, caused a little stink too, didn't it? Made the religious people mad. And they brought them in before the Sanhedrin to challenge them. How did you do this? And they said in verse 16, this was their defense. I love this answer. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now, you get around your fundamentalist people, you know, the people don't believe in tongues and signs and wonders and all that. You know people like that, right? And they'll say, well, you know, they did this because they were apostles. No, that they didn't even mention the word apostle. That man was healed because they used the name. They were just doing what Jesus told them to do in Mark 16. Go lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They were acting out the word of God. And they were healed. Through faith in his name. We got to get back to that again. That name carries so much power and authority in this earth. And it actually is above things below the earth too. If you read it in Philippians, amen. But again, in my name, not somebody else's name. Remember there were the sons of Sceva? Remember those guys? They were exorcists, Jewish exorcists, and they tried to cast out a demon out of a guy, and he says, you know. And Paul we know, and Jesus we know, but who are you? And the demons came on them and tore their clothes off. And you know, you need to know who you are. Do the demonic forces know who you are? Some people have the attitude, well, I'm not going to bother them, so they don't bother me. It doesn't work that way. When you name the name of Jesus, you're in the kingdom of God, and you are a threat. You might just get a revelation, and you might use it on them. Amen. But in the name again, that's Mark 16:17. That in my name, go in my name, do these things. In fact, John 16:24, here's a couple more verses here. Hitherto, he says, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Amen. Isn't it something when you get answers to your prayer? Amen. But when you use that name and you believe it and you have the revelation of it and you're exercising your authority, it brings joy to your life. I've had the privilege to do a lot of missionary work overseas, which we always see more signs and wonders because people don't have as much insurance over there as they have here in America. I'm just being honest with you, but you know, I've seen the blind see. People with elephantitis in India, they come back next day, they're normal. You know, stuff like that, that brings joy, man.
Yes. Yeah.
When you use that name that's above all other names. And you see the results of it. He said, up to this point, he said, you've asked nothing in my name, but now, in this new covenant, we're to ask in his name. Amen. Like Philippians chapter 2. Just flip right over there, would you? Flip right over there. Here it tells us that, again, what Jesus did, taking the form of a servant, found fashion as a man, became obedient to death, the death of the cross, verse 9, wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things of heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So that name has been bestowed upon Jesus. Now, thank God he did that, but then Jesus turns and bestows his name for us to use. That's what Mark 16 is all about, the authority of a believer. We're to go now in his name, ask in his name, do all these things in his name, and the enemy will have to run. In fact, Colossians 2:15. What time are we done here tonight? We're not finished. Don't tell me that. Okay. Colossians 2:15. There's talking about what Jesus did. He took the handwriting of the ordinances against us, which is contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailed it to the cross. Again, we had a handwriting of ordinances. We had a sin debt we couldn't pay. Jesus took it, nailed it to the cross. In verse 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So again, at the cross, victory was brought over the powers of the enemy. Again, kings have more authority than princes. Principalities, see the word principalities there? We have greater power and authority now. This should be subject to us using the name. Are you with me? In fact, Hebrews 1:14. That's not the right verse. Where it says he had the power to destroy it. That verse, maybe it's 4, 1, 4 maybe. How about verse 4? How about, yeah, this is. Yeah. Where's that at? Chapter 2. But first, let's go chapter 1, at verse 3. That ties right in here, too. Who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty and high being, made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So again, he inherited that. Yeah, 2:14. Is that where we went? I'm glad you showed up tonight. Amen.
Amen.
For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of saying that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So again, Satan's been put under our feet. Jesus pulled his teeth out of that. He goes about as a roaring lion, but his teeth have been pulled. He can roar. He makes a lot of noise. You ever hear a lion actually roar? I was in a zoo over in Russia, and I remember when it was a lion roar. And I thought, man, it sounded like a freight train coming through there somewhere. And what that does is instills fear in the animals when they hear that. And a lot of people get afraid when the devil starts roaring. But let him roar. You're going to die early. Let him roar. No. The word says that by his stripes, I'm healed. With long life, he's going to satisfy me and show me his salvation.
Yes.
Amen. I'm a king. I have what I say. Quit saying what you have. Amen. Start calling those things that be not as though they are. Amen. But again, Jesus came, and for 3 years he went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed of the devil. Acts 10:38. And What did he do? He went about unloosing Satan's power over people. Healing the sick, setting the captives free. In fact, his main message was Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I believe he preached that everywhere he went.
Absolutely.
And faith would come by hearing. And then he'd minister. That anointing would flow. Amen?
Yeah.
So again, he came to destroy the power that the enemy had. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So again, he wants us to have a revelation. Paul was praying this for saints. I pray this for people. I put people's names in there. I pray, Lord, they give them an understanding. Give them a revelation. You know, we talk about praying for the sick, but a lot of times we need people need to have a revelation.
Amen.
We're to lay hands on the sick. But I like to pray for people to have a revelation of the healing power of God, that they were healed by the stripes. They're not trying to get healed. They are the healed. And when that light goes off inside you, you know, you walk towards health and strength.
Amen.
Amen. So we might receive this inheritance. My question here tonight is, what gives the name its power? Well, it depends who or what is backing it. On the way over here tonight, I came over Route 81. There was two traffic mess-ups. I don't know. Evidently, one guy's car must have stalled. He was out in the passenger lane, and that his car stalled, and I guess he couldn't get it started again, and that caused another backup. And finally, got around that, and then got a little further. There's some policemen out there, three policemen. They were had a guy pulled over. It looked like they were seeing him, making him do a sobriety walk. I don't know. Looked like that's what they were doing. But, you know, all that policeman needed to do is put his hand up like it's here, and those 18-wheelers just stop. It's amazing. They could just squash that guy like nothing. But why does the 18-wheeler stop? Because the power of the state's behind that state trooper.
Absolutely.
And behind that is the federal, the army if you need them. There's power behind that authority of that policeman. And we need to say stop in Jesus' name. When we see sickness and disease in people, stop in Jesus' name. I command you to get out of that body in Jesus' name. We've got to start looking at sickness and disease as oppression. The Bible calls it oppression. All those that were oppressed by the devil. There's different levels of that, I understand that, but we need to come back and start saying, get out in Jesus' name. I had enough of it. Get out of my family. Get out of my kids. Amen? Put your foot down. Huh? If you don't, he'll push you around. I remember, you know, there's a lot of things about bullying today in schools, but we had bullying back in my day. This one guy, he flunked out of how many years. He was really old, too old to be in school anymore, but he picked on everybody. I remember one day, I was out of my car, and he was looking for my friend. He had a beef to pick with him, and he was band practice or something, so he says, I'll fight you, and he threw me up against the car, and I had enough, man. That's all it took. I came out swinging. Right? After that guy became my best friend, you know? Because I stood up against them. Later on, he even came to my church. I remember that. But you got to stand, make your stand, amen? You can't just let the devil bully you around. Tell him to get out. Use that name with authority. And, you know, it's not so much how loud you speak. How many know Keith Yoder, Brother Keith Yoder, from the worship center? And the guys don't know Keith Yoder? He ran the Living Words school there for a while. He did a message one time. It's not how loud you say it. It's if you know who you are. I thought it was a good way, because then we think we had to scream at the devil. And, you know, you might get, you may, your emotions may get involved. It's all right. But you, if you know who you are, you say, go in Jesus' name. And mean it. Get out. You'll say, should I send them to hell? You can't. You, no, you don't send them to hell. Yeah, just they'll go to the dry places and try to come back. But that's what Matthew 16 is about again. What we bind and what we loose. Declare lawful or unlawful. I declare sickness and disease unlawful in my body, in my family, and when I'm praying for people. It's against the law. You say, what law is it? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Sickness and disease is sin and death. It'll kill you if you let it go unchecked. So use the name. Declare it lawful or unlawful. Be a policeman. Stand up and say no. Amen? You got the armor on. Amen? Put on the whole armor of God. Pull that mask down and that helmet of salvation. The devil will know if it's Jesus in there or who's in there. Amen? Like Brother Copeland always said, make sure you have the undergarments of love on. Wearing all that steel would be... Are you with me? Declare it. So in my name, we got saved by the name, didn't we?
Yes.
Acts 4:12. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We baptize in the name. Acts 2:38. Amen. We pray for the sick and the lame in the name. Acts 3:6. These are verses you can look up. We cast out demons in the name. Mark 16:17 and 19. Colossians 3:17, whatsoever you do, do it all in the name of Jesus. Get out of bed in the name of Jesus. Get in your car. Say, in Jesus' name, you start car. Hallelujah. Amen. Use the name. And the devil will run as in terror. Amen. You get anything out of that? Now what are we doing?
So let's take a 10-minute break. There's coffee. Little trick. If that door's open, there's another bathroom back there by those lights. If it's open. Good. So we have two bathrooms here. 20-something guys, one bathroom. What were you thinking? Anyway, it's all good. We'll be back here in 10 minutes. Right. And we'll start again.